Like the office they commemorate, presidential libraries are living institutions. Certainly, it is my hope that the Reagan Library will become a dynamic intellectual forum where scholars interpret the past and policymakers debate the future.
Welcome to a Reagan Forum, hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. The Center for Public Affairs offers lectures and forums presenting perspectives on important public policy issues of the day, from politicians, authors, members of the media, business and military leaders, and more. Last week, we brought you the program for the Nancy Reagan Forever Stamp artwork unveiling, held with Dr. Jill Biden at the White House. In this week's Reagan Forum podcast, we are going full circle by sharing Mrs. Reagan's 101st birthday program on July 6, 2022. During that event, the United States Postal Service joined us again, this time for the first day issue of the stamp. During this program, remarks were made by Postmaster General and Chief Executive Officer of the United States Postal Service, Louis DeJoy, and Dennis Revelle, Mrs. Reagan's former son-in-law. Let's listen.
Good morning, everyone. For those I have not had the chance to meet, my name is John Heibusch, and I have the honor of being the Executive Director of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. Thank you so, so much for being with us here this morning. It is a pleasure to have all of you with us here today on the 101st anniversary of Nancy Reagan's birth. If you are on social media right now, have your calculator, your phone in your hand with you, if you're sharing this on social media, we hope you will use our hashtag Nancy Reagan Stamp to help publicize today's event. Thank you so much. Now, if you would please stand for the presentation of the colors by the Simi Valley Police Honor Guard and remain standing for the national anthem performed by Steve Huber from Jason Sulkin Music. Honor Guard, present the colors. Before we continue, there are just a few special guests that I'd like to recognize here today. And there he is, I see him right up front. Former Congressman Elton Gallagly and his wife, Janice. Elton, wonderful to have you here. We also have Eduardo Ruiz, the Postal Service's Vice President for the Westpac area. We're gathered on the 101st birthday of Nancy Davis Reagan. Today marks the end of her centennial year, a year that's recognized her tireless efforts on behalf of her husband, the nation, and the foundation which bears her husband's name. Over the past year, we have held events and programs which have highlighted her many contributions to the nation and her lifetime of extraordinary achievement. Over the past year, we've held discussions with historians. Her White House staff and White House photographers provided us with an inside glimpse of her life. A beautiful statue of her was unveiled in our Rose Garden here at the Reagan Library just last week. College scholarships have been awarded in her name. And just 1 month ago, we stood in the East Room of the White House with Postmaster General DeJoy and unveiled the artwork of the brand new Nancy Reagan Forever postage stamp. Now, upon learning that his mother was getting a forever stamp, her son Ron wrote to us the following, quote, "Her own stamp. I am sure she never expected to receive an honor like this. Neither did she expect to be flying all over the country stuck to the front of envelopes." She would, of course, have reacted modestly to this wonderful commemoration, but secretly, she would be very pleased. On her behalf, thank you. Like Ron, I too believe Mrs. Reagan would have been so deeply honored with today. It's only fitting that the stamp being issued today is a forever stamp because her legacy will live on forever. Which brings us to today's program. We are deeply honored to have our first speaker today, Louis DeJoy, the 75th Postmaster General of the United States and the Chief Executive Officer of the world's largest postal organization. Louis began his tenure as Postmaster General in June of 2020 and got right to work. Together with Postal Service leadership, he architected the organization's 10-year strategic plan, which serves as a roadmap ensuring the Postal Service fulfills its public service mission for generations to come. We were honored to have him with us at the artwork unveiling ceremony at the White House last month, and we're just as honored that he was able to join us today. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Louis DeJoy.
Thank you, John. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful place. I would also like to thank the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library and Museum for providing such a beautiful setting for today's ceremony. It's a tremendous honor to be here with all of you. I have the privilege of announcing the United States Postal Service is today issuing a first-class mail forever postage stamp commemorating the life of First Lady Nancy Reagan. Through our stamp program, the Postal Service seeks to commemorate and celebrate the very best of America, and Nancy Reagan truly represents that effort. Mrs. Reagan will be the sixth First Lady honored with a U.S. postage stamp. Our previous stamps were issued for Martha Washington, the first American woman ever featured on a postage stamp, Dolly Madison, Abigail Adams, Eleanor Roosevelt, and Lady Bird Johnson. Nancy Reagan was an inspiring individual. She was an important part of one of the most pivotal presidencies of the 20th century as a wife, champion, and trusted advisor to our 40th President of the United States, Ronald Reagan. As the First Lady of both California and the nation, she built a legacy of public service throughout her eventful life. Whether she was giving voice to the needs of America's Vietnam veterans, promoting foster grandparent programs, or raising visibility for important health issues, she was a passionate and effective public advocate for a wide range of causes close to her heart. Among these were her efforts to fight drug and alcohol abuse amongst young people. Her campaign's model, "Just Say No," became a lasting part of the American lexicon. Mrs. Reagan also helped establish the Ronald and Nancy Reagan Research Institute, an affiliate of the National Alzheimer's Association, and with her support, millions of dollars were raised for research and public awareness of this dreaded disease. In 2000, Nancy Reagan, with her husband, was awarded the Congressional Gold Medal. 2 years later, she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. These are the highest civilian honors that our country bestows for service to the nation, befitting one of the most influential first ladies of our time. We are especially pleased to work with the work of Aaron Schickler, who has given us an excellent portrait of Mrs. Reagan to share with the nation. And now I would like to ask our guests on stage to join me in the unveiling of and dedicating of the Nancy Reagan stamp. Had a little mishap here. The Postal Service takes great pride in our mission to bind the nation together. Through the issuance of the Nancy Reagan stamp, we hope to provide the means for the public to come together in remembrance and commemoration. I, along with the 650,000 women and men of the United States Postal Service, am proud to honor First Lady Nancy Reagan with this stamp. Thank you.
If all of you recognize that song, I sure did. Steve, with Jason Sulkin Music, was played for us, Nancy with a Laughing Face. What a terrific song. I remember sitting very near Mrs. Reagan one Christmas when Johnny Mathis sang that directly to her, so it was really quite something. Thank you so much. Our next speaker today is a true patriot in every sense of the word. He served our country with distinction as a United States Marine, as the mayor of San Diego, as a United States Senator from California, and then as governor of California. He serves as a trustee of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. And although he's been called all of those things and more, I am most proud to call him and his dear wife, Gail, dear, dear friends. In 2011, he traveled the world with us to honor the Ronald Reagan Centennial and joined us in kicking off Mrs. Reagan's Centennial as well. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Governor Pete Wilson.
Thank you, John. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Beautiful day. And as you've heard, we are capping what has been the 100th birthday, the centennial of Nancy Davis Reagan, a celebration that we ushered in last July 6th. In the courtyard right here at the Reagan Library. And it concludes today on what would have been Nancy Reagan's 101st birthday, and we're doing so with the issuance of a forever stamp in her honor. Now, you've heard about prior recipients. Let's spend a moment on that. She is only the sixth First Lady in American history to have a stamp issued, and the First Lady of California to have one. I know a little something about amazing First Ladies. I'm married to another one of California's former First Ladies, and it's true that all of them, as volunteers, have championed truly important causes throughout the years, and they have made very real differences, many of them truly lasting. Last week, we unveiled the statue in Nancy Reagan's honor in the Rose Garden, as you've heard, right here at the front of the library. Now, this is the first statue of Nancy Reagan all by herself. She is, of course, something that we have been used to seeing standing next to her husband in the first gallery of the museum. But this new statue is just of Nancy Reagan. It's a beautiful piece by Charles Fagan. As many of you know, the most recent of Charles' distinguished sculptures of Ronald Reagan now resides on the balcony of the office of the United States Ambassador to Berlin, overlooking, appropriately, the site where President Reagan gave a very famous speech, the one in which he demanded of the then Soviet premier, tear down this wall. And the wall came down. It came down because of his absolute demand, and the demand was backed up by the ability that had been demonstrated some 10 months earlier in a small hut, a house in Reykjavik, in which he spent a Sunday afternoon with five other people. The other, appropriately, was the then Soviet Premier Gorbachev. With him was his Secretary of State. That's not exactly what they call it there, but it was Edward Shevardnadze, whose appropriate counterpart in the United States government was the President's good friend and his wonderful choice as Secretary of State, the late George Shultz. But today we are honoring Nancy Reagan all by herself and the forever stamp that's being issued today speaks truly and rightly to the fact that Nancy Reagan's legacy is long-lasting. It has been, it will be. And from her work with prisoners of war and missing in action veterans, as well as the work that she did with the foster grandparent program as First Lady of California. In these, she has helped veterans, seniors, and small children. And we can't forget, as we were reminded just a moment ago, of the extraordinary commitment that she made to fighting drug and alcohol abuse among our youth with the Just Say No program as First Lady of the United States. Nancy was tireless as she traveled nearly 250,000 miles throughout the country and around the globe. She even addressed the United Nations General Assembly on this cause. And again, that was a first for our First Lady to do so, the first for any First Lady to do so. Also during her time in Washington, she very bravely became involved in the cause of breast cancer because she was suffering breast cancer. But her decision to make a personal matter become known to the public helped minimize what many women had felt was some sort of stigma, or at the very least, they wanted the privacy of their health guarded. But she did something that took great courage and had great results in terms of persuading lots of women in her same situation to not be afraid to reveal that they had that, and more importantly, she influenced women to receive regular mammograms, and by making her own health public, she persuaded many others to do the same with an enormous increase in preventive medicine. That's the kind of woman that we're talking about. In her final years, Nancy Reagan campaigned in favor of innovative but hotly debated Alzheimer's research, while at the same time serving as a caregiver and protector for her own husband, the great Ronald Reagan, who with similar courage went public with the fact that he had been stricken with this terrible disease. And as a result of her tremendous support and the courage that they both shared, millions of dollars were raised for Alzheimer's research, and public conversation about this dreaded disease is no longer taboo. It is something that people must realize affect people without warning, and it took the kind of courage that both Ronald and Nancy Reagan embodied to once again step forward and urge people to contribute to the cause of research so that their suffering would not, in fact, be needlessly suffered or delayed.
More from our Nancy Reagan Forever Stamp First Day of Issue program after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now, back to our Nancy Reagan Forever Stamp First Day of Issue program.
That's impossible to quantify, but it is an act of courage and kindness that we would accept from both of those extraordinary people. I know that she would have been deeply honored to have this stamp issued in her honor. My wife Gail has already told me that she's ordered a large number of them for Christmas, for our Christmas cards this year. So I hope that you will follow her model and purchase those stamps and delight the recipients of your cards, because they will be a reminder of just what an extraordinary woman Nancy Reagan has been. Those of us who have served with her on the Reagan Foundation board know that we were in the company of a remarkable woman. Woman who cared deeply for her country, just as she cared so deeply for her husband. I'm going to reveal something personal. I had the opportunity on a number of occasions to be the arm upon which she leaned as she was coming in to participate as a member of the audience for any number of visiting speakers to this library. As time went on and as her strength ebbed, it took longer for us to get from the door to her seat in the audience. And one day, finally, when the standing ovation that inevitably accompanied her entry was a little longer than she could bear, she said, "Pete, it's been very kind of you to be my arm, but I think it's getting a little lengthy. The time that it takes to get from the door to my seat. So I'm going to excuse you from that duty henceforward, because it's just too long." And I said, "Nancy, it can never be too long as a tribute to you. Those people are standing, they're on their feet, because it is an acknowledgement on their part of how deeply they admire you." She didn't argue with me after that, but she didn't come either. So much for my good advice. I hope that you will join as we honor Nancy Reagan with this forever stamp, because I hope that it will be pretty close to forever, or better yet, to the time that the efforts that she made to encourage research, to encourage kids not to exhibit, as so many have sadly, a careless curiosity, a thrill-seeking curiosity. She was heart-bent upon saving people who could be saved by a little bit of elderly advice. And I don't know how many did just say no. Not enough, but a whole lot more than ever would have had she not given them that very fine advice. So, Nancy, as we honored you in life, we will honor your remarkable legacy in your death. Another somewhat personal recollection. When the president died, and when he had been laid to rest in the tomb here at the library, there was a moment in which she was overcome with grief and actually placed herself on the tomb. And somehow, I don't know exactly how the photograph was taken or even how it was distributed, except I think it's somewhat like the photo on Mount Suribachi. It got away. And as a result, a number of people saw her in that moment of grief, seeking to commune with the man she loved. And she later told me I was so embarrassed. And I said, Nancy, embarrassed? Embarrassed that the American people saw you demonstrating loss, grief, and love for the man that you so admired and loved. Don't for a moment think that that was something that should have been covered up. The people knew that, I think. So it, at best, it was a reminder that their lives together created a debt of gratitude that we owe and will for as long as we live. God bless you for being here today in support of Nancy Reagan, standing alone, a very unusual thing for her, but she had no choice but to stand alone after the man she loved departed. Thank you for being here. Thank you for admiring this woman and taking part in the efforts that she made to make America a better, kinder place.
You know, I go to sleep every night with this wish that when I wake up in the morning, Pete Wilson would still be California's governor. Our next speaker has played critical roles in the war on drugs. First, as part of Mrs. Reagan's Just Say No programs, and then in several important positions at the State Department and at the United Nations to combat international drug trafficking. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Honorable Ann Robleski.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here, and it's an honor to be on the platform. I first was hired at the White House during the transition. This would have been December of 1980. And then on the afternoon of the inauguration, I walked into the East Wing of the White House and picked out my office. This was pretty heady stuff for a 28-year-old. I had spent the transition learning everything I could about the foster grandparent program, since that was Mrs. Reagan's cause when she had been the wife of the governor. For those of you who don't know, this matches older Americans with young kids and gives them an opportunity to be together, to read, to do homework, to play games, just to be together, and brings much joy into the lives of both the older people and the younger people. The foster grandparent program is a federal program, and so when Mrs. Reagan came to Washington, as you would expect, there were a lot of folks who wanted her to continue with her her fine work in that program. It's a warm, fuzzy, feel-good, happy kind of a program. About a couple months into the administration, Mrs. Reagan started hearing from her friends that there was another issue that she should take up, and that was the issue of teenage drug abuse. And she kind of nattered at it, as she was likely to do, and really kind of wanted to know a lot more about it. So we set up I think it paid off well, but we set up a long string of people to come in and brief her. And we had a long list of experts who came in, both from the government, from the private sector. I remember in particular Ross Perot coming in and talking to her, because at the time he ran the Texans War on Drugs. But we got through this long briefing period, and I must say that in the middle, through all of this, the West Wing, the president's senior advisors, were not real happy about this. This shift from this feel-good, happy program over to 11, 12, and 13-year-old drug abusers. I had one of the president's senior advisors say to me, this drug stuff is just such a downer. They just weren't getting it. But she persisted, and she learned as much as she possibly could. Then came the assassination attempt, and that kind of stopped things for a while until the president recovered. And what I wanted to talk to you about today, as we stand in front of this stamp, which is, I think, stunning. I think you would all agree with me. And it's stunning, of course, because she was stunning. But what I wanted to talk about today is her grit, her determination, her persistence, and her commitment to change. And I think to me that's the most important thing about her. Once the president had recovered and he was on his feet again, we started planning for her to take her first trip outside of Washington on the issue of teenage drug abuse. We went to a treatment center in St. Petersburg, Florida, and it was called Straight. It's still in operation, but it was a large room of young people who were undergoing treatment for drug abuse, and she sat in the front row. It was, since it was her first trip out of Washington, as you can imagine, the press coverage was phenomenal. We had lots and lots of people traveling with us. But she sat in the front row with her, we had Secret Service, and then behind us were the parents of all of these children. And one by one, a dozen of them or so, got up and told their story, how they had first tried drugs, how they had become drug abusers, how they got to treatment, what they were learning in treatment, how it was changing your life. And I, of course, by the end of the night, not a dry eye in the house. I mean, everyone was crying at that point. It was just such an emotional, emotional evening. The next day, we went to a meeting of what are now called parents groups. And the parents movement was really started in Florida. So she was able to sit with the founders of the parents movement, which, you know, in those days would fit in half of this tent, frankly. But she was able to listen to them and talk with them about the experiences that they have had with their children and the kinds of things that she could help with. And I think that trip was really when she found her place. I mean, this is a big, global, complicated issue. Trust me. But that night, I think, that day, I think what she saw was that her place in this issue was with children and was with parents. And that was where she was the most comfortable, and that was where she wanted to be. So even when she went to the Vatican to meet with the Pope about drug abuse, when she made her landmark speech at the United Nations, when she brought 30 First Ladies from around the world to the White House for a two-day conference about drug abuse and what they could do. Through all of that, her heart was with kids and their parents. So when I think about Nancy Reagan, I think about a woman who changed many, many lives. But I also think about a woman who saved many lives. Thank you. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Anne. Our final speaker today was someone very special to Mrs. Reagan. You may know him as a noted political strategist or a public relations consultant, but Mrs. Reagan knew him as family, indeed her son-in-law. Having married Maureen Reagan in April 1981, he quickly became an important confidant to Mrs. Reagan. He's here today to share a few stories of his time with her. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dennis Revelle.
Still morning. Good morning, everyone. thank you for joining us here at this very special occasion. It's a tremendous honor to be with you all. Thank you, Postmaster General DeJoy, Governor Wilson, Ann Wroblewski, John Heibusch, for your gracious and warm remarks about a very special woman we all loved and admired. As most senior members of the media know, over the last 42 years, despite the fact that it's my profession, I shunned the role of spokesperson for the Reagan family as much as others have sought it. I've done so not out of indifference or timidity, but out of the very deep respect for President Reagan, Nancy, Maureen, and the entire family. Today, I've been asked to make an exception to that longstanding policy. On behalf of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, and the entire Reagan family, I would like to express our sincere gratitude to the United States Postal Service for the creating and dedicating the Nancy Reagan Forever commemorative stamp. We are gathered here today to not only celebrate the official first issue of this beautiful new commemorative postage stamp, but also to celebrate, as President Reagan would say if he were here with us today, the 62nd anniversary of her 39th birthday, of one of the best, most influential, and beautiful first ladies of our lifetime. Throughout our private family moments together, as well as our time in the public spotlight, Nancy Reagan was first and foremost an incredibly elegant, influential, dedicated, loving, and politically astute partner to the most important president in my lifetime. While we enjoyed a close relationship throughout the White House years, we developed an even closer bond in the years following their return to California, for which I am very grateful. I, like all of you, miss her greatly. We were there for each other as our spouses battled their respective health challenges in the same hospital at the same time. I recall each year our oftentimes months on end telephone discussions of how we were all going to celebrate Christmas together. In the quiet of their home, she inspired me with the constant care and compassion she showed President Reagan as he struggled with Alzheimer's disease. As I scanned my Nancy Reagan memory banks this to be ready for today's celebration, I thought I would share with you some truly memorable, special post-White House moments with Nancy. First, what kind of present do you get a former First Lady? In 1996, I thought for Christmas, Nancy needed an upgrade to her Rolodex and hand-printed address book, and that she should join the technological age. So for Christmas, I gave her a Palm Pilot. Some of you may actually know what that is. When she looked at it and said, "What's this?" I knew I'd struck out swinging. I'll always wonder what member of the library staff ended up with that Palm Pilot. Every Christmas, it was my responsibility to carve the turkey. For Christmas 2014, I took another long shot at a gift that I thought she'd get a kick out of. It was an original of the April 1950 issue of Screen Guide magazine, which the studios at that time used to promote their stars. It was a profile of Nancy Davis, which led with the opening line, quote, "Newcomer Nancy Davis leads a different life than Liz Taylor." It concluded the article by saying, quote, "When Nancy gets home from the studio, she scrambles eggs, prepares something else light, washes her hair every night when she's working, and dries it by hand, reads or knits for a while, then goes to bed. Sunday is Nancy's day for herself," close quote. After dinner, we all sat at the dinner table and laughed as Nancy jokingly proclaimed that they had nailed it. Lastly, late Friday, March 4th, 2016, my wife Cindy and I got the word of Nancy's failing health. and left Sacramento while it was still very dark the following morning and drove 7 hours to get to her home by noon. As we pulled into her driveway, the radiator on my SUV blew. Our last conversation was her being worried about me getting the car repaired. This is from a woman who hadn't driven a car in 45 years. That is vintage Nancy Reagan, taking care of others to the end. Nancy Reagan was the chief guardian of President Reagan's legacy, and in my opinion, the single most compelling driving force behind this magnificent presidential library, the foundation, and the institute. As did the five first ladies before her that were memorialized on a stamp, Nancy Reagan helped define the role of presidential spouse for her successors. It's fitting that this fiercely vigilant and politically astute first lady, who left her stamp on the most consequential presidency of the 20th century, should be celebrated and commemorated on a forever stamp of her own. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Thanks so much, Dennis. In closing, to all of you who serve in the United States Postal Service, please accept our sincere gratitude for the great work you've done to make this beautiful stamp a reality. I'd like to now ask all of our program participants to come join at the front of the stage while we celebrate Mrs. Reagan's birthday. Thank you all so much for coming, and happy birthday, Mrs. Reagan.
The complete video of this program, as well as the unveiling program held a month prior at the White House, can be found on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Reagan Foundation. Nancy Reagan Forever Stamps can be purchased through any United States Postal Service branch, and Nancy Reagan Forever Stamp memorabilia and cachets can be purchased through the Reagan Library Museum store at reaganlibrary.com/store. Thank you for listening.
For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit reaganfoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Until next week, thanks for listening. God bless you.
Don't forget to subscribe to A Reagan Forum podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of A Reagan Forum come out every Thursday. Like what you hear? Check out our Words to Live By podcast featuring radio addresses and speeches Ronald Reagan delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. New episodes drop every Tuesday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.